This is a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.
Now, welcome along. Hello, welcome back. You are listening to the Fun Kids Science Weekly. My name is Dan. Hello. This is the show where to get featured, you need to be just one of the most amazing, weird, and dangerous things that exist in the universe. Now, today we're having a look at the loudest animal on the planet. And it's from a tiny creature that you would never suspect could make such a noise. Also, you can hear about the darkest material that's ever existed and where it is right now. And we've got star power on the show today. One of the most famous pop stars in the world and the TV talent judge, Will.i.am, he'll be chatting all about his brand new book, which tells the story of robots in the future with wizards. That's on the way in a little bit. In a sec, we'll spin the big Fun Kids wheel of shout-outs, seeing if you're getting a hello on the radio today. First, let's catch up with one of our favourite inventors at Fun Kids, Sir Sidney McSprocket, who today is looking at nanotechnology.
Sir Sidney McSprocket's inspiring inventions in partnership with Weir Group.
The year is 1899, Victorian Britain. The place, Sir Sidney McSprocket's workshop, Edinburgh, Scotland. The time, just before 11s.
Oh, hello. Come in, set yourself in. I'm just putting the finishing touches to my brilliant new invention. Scone spreading spatulas. Just adjusting the tension on the flywheel. Oh, now that wasn't supposed to happen. Anyway, not to worry. I'll sort that out later. Welcome, one and all, to another inspiring invention. Thanks. Today, we'll be travelling through history to find out about nanotechnology, the science of teeny, teeny, tiny wee things, no less. Even smaller than that. So, with the help of my own finest invention, the patented future scrutineer, let's find out how it all started. I just got to start the bellows. Oh, is it me or is it hot in here? Goodness, it's what cup of sweat. Right, I'll just program in the details. Nanotechnology. Tell us how it all began.
From Roman times, people have found that looking through polished glass or precious jewels can make things look bigger or smaller. Emperor Nero himself liked to watch gladiator fights through a coloured gem. Over the centuries, microscopes were created to harness the power of these lenses and to see objects too small for the naked eye.
Microscopic means invisible to the eye. Well, unless you're using a microscope, of course. Goes without saying, really.
Robert Hooke was a scientist in the 1600s, and he used his microscope to draw amazing pictures of tiny insects like flies and woodlice. His book of drawings, Micrographia, was a bestseller and inspired many other scientists. In the 1930s, the electron microscope was invented by Ernst Rösker and Max Noll of the Technical University of Berlin. Instead of using daylight or lamps to light up the sample, the item is scanned with minuscule electrons, and it's a great way to see what bacteria and viruses look like.
Oh, I hope you washed your hands. So, as 20th century scientists could start to see smaller and smaller things, the possibilities of engineering at this level began to open up, which leads us to nanotechnology.
Nanotechnology is the study of manipulating matter on an atomic and molecular scale. Structures sized between 1 to 100 nanometer.
And to help explain how small that is, The difference between a nanometer to a meter is the same as that of a grape. To the size of the Earth!
Nanotechnology allows scientists to create new materials, as well as build tiny machines, from computer chips to medical devices designed to work within a human cell. And because they are tiny, you could have thousands of them in a small space, making the machines very powerful.
Ugh, there's a rumbly and matumbly. All this scrutineering makes me hungry. Time for a tea cake. Thanks for joining me. Drop by again soon, won't you?
Sir Sidney McSprocket's Inspiring Inventions is produced by Fun Kids in partnership with Weir Group, creating excellent engineering solutions.
And you can hear all of Sir Sidney McSprocket's inventions and his adventures, the nonsense that he gets up to, for free right now. Open up your favourite podcast place on your phone or tablet. Also on there, get to the free Fun Kids app and you can listen at funkidslive.com. So George from Fun Kids has been chatting to superstar pop star will.i.am all about his brand new book, Wizards and Robots. It's a sci-fi story set in the future. You can hear about that in just a sec. First, it's time to spin the Fun Kids shout-out wheel and see who is getting a hello on the radio today. Basically, we've got a big wheel in the studio and it's covered in names. And if you want your name to be on there for a chance of a shout out, you need to leave this show a review, the Fun Kids Science Weekly, on the iTunes podcast store. And then I give it a spin, it might land on you. Giving it a spin, let's see, it's gone past Brian and Ashley and Tamsin and Jasmine and Ethan. And it's landed on TPS7. Strange name, but they've given us 5 stars, so I'll overlook that. Thank you so much, TPS7, for leaving us a review. They say that they love listening to the show, and they listen in with their younger cousin, and they learn stuff they would never dream could exist. Well, we've got more about that in Dangerous Dan in just a sec. It's a creature, the loudest one in the planet, and I don't believe that you'll even believe what it is, even after you've heard it. It's on the way. Thank you so much to TBS7, though, for leaving us such a nice review. Now, if you want a shout-out on this show, you need to get out your phone or your tablet right now, find the Fun Kids Science Weekly on the iTunes podcast store, and leave us a review.
So, you guys have both had the coolest jobs. You both work as futurists in some form. Could you tell our listeners a little bit about the work that you both do in that kind of world of engineering, in robotics, in science?
I put teams together. I go around the world, look for awesome talent, whether it's AI, AR, VR, IoT. I like to hunt for talent and come up with ideas for the talent that I put together to execute. Or in the process of hunting for talent, someone has an idea, edit to make sure it's like, you know, in the best position to be presented to culture the best way imaginable.
What about you, Brian? You've got a cool job.
So I'm a futurist. I look 10 years out and I model both positive and negative futures. And then I turn around and look backward and work with organizations to say, what are the steps you need to take today, tomorrow, 5 years from now, to get to that positive future and move away from that negative future?
It's a very cool job. I don't know how you explained it in such a short period of time, but I suppose people ask you a lot. But if you were both to look into your super futuristic, scientific future, what's in the next 10 years, what is big? What is coming for us that we need to look out for? What's going to change the world?
For me, as I think out as a futurist, it's thinking what comes after artificial intelligence, what comes after autonomy in land, sea, and air, what comes after smart cities, what comes after big data, the Internet of Things, all the things you hear people talking about, and this notion of sentient tools. And so sentient tools are these tools that, number one, will be aware, they'll understand their surroundings. Number two, they'll be able to think. We're not trying to replace human beings. They're going to be able to think and process. And number three, they'll be social. They'll know us as individuals and value us as individuals. And so I always ask people, in this age of sentient tools, are we prepared? Are we prepared to take advantage of the amazing productivity? Are we training the next generation to actually take advantage of these sentient tools? And I don't think we are yet, because the potential is just massive.
Will, what do you think is coming for us?
Not that far out, but what's coming for us is personal AI, to where we could benefit from our own data and other data doppelgangers out there. Clusters, right? So there's social networks. What's coming is cluster.
the cluster of, I'll have a cluster, and I'll have my personal AI that, you know, mines that data to give me a better, healthier, cooler life.
Well, you do a lot of amazing work with kids and science education. Why is it so important for you?
I was a recipient of in the past, someone thinking forward and paying it forward and giving me an opportunity. So being a recipient of, like, the magnet program, being bused from the ghetto to a nice school to learn science, technology, computers, oceanography, physics, a summer lunch program for families that couldn't afford to, you know, give their kids lunch because they were not in school. So somebody's, you know, good doing changed my life. So now that I have an opportunity to do good, I want to do that for other folks.
Well, the book is fantastic, Wizards and Robots, and I'm sure the Funkids listeners will be checking it out. Thanks for your time, guys.
It's time for this week's Dangerous Dan, which is all about the loudest animal in the world. And it's a surprise, because it makes sounds of over 200 decibels. Now, the human ear can only take noises, and stand them up to 130 decibels. So if we could hear this properly, our eardrums, they would just be blown to pieces and we'd go deaf. Luckily, though, the tiger pistol shrimp lives way down deep in the ocean. It's kind of a strange one, this, because you would never imagine a shrimp could be so deadly, but this one animal can kill fish and other sea life when it's not even near them. Now, the tiger pistol is named after two things. One, the grey stripes on its back that make it look a little bit like a tiger, and also the noise that it makes when it closes its claws. You see, to stun food and to capture its prey, it lifts both its claws into the air through the ocean, opens them up wide, and slams them together, making a sound just like the pistol that it's named after, and it does as much damage as well. The sound it makes stuns the prey, it knocks some creatures dead from over 2 meters away, and then it scuttles over to use the same claws to rip apart and to feast on the pieces. So the tiger pistol shrimp, it may be small, it may not seem deadly to us at all, but if it were on land, the sound it makes would split your ears apart like a sonic boom. It's the Fun Kids Science Weekly. We'll get one of the questions that you have sent over to my page at funkidslive.com answered by our expert Tom in just a sec. First, we're catching up with one of our other favourite geniuses on the show, Professor Hallux, and he's investigating your body, finding out how to make it better, how to make your ears hear better, your heart beat stronger. Today, we're going into the brain.
Hallux's Physiology Fix-Up.
My new phone is brilliant. So many apps. A million books to read, maths calculators, maps, encyclopedias on every topic, translators. Hey, Nanobot, I think it would make a perfectly serviceable human brain.
Really?
Absolutely. Look at all it can do. Check this out. How cool would it be if your brain could do what this app does?
It makes you talk like a hamster. I'm a hamster. Eek, eek.
Ew. That's just weird. Anyway, are you absolutely sure it could do all the jobs the brains do?
There's only one way to find out. That's to learn more about the physiology of the brain. Organs and systems in our bodies have a number of jobs to do, and they're able to do all these jobs because of the way they are constructed and the way they work with other parts of the body.
Loading physiology file.
Human brain, job one, processing information.
Well, my mobile phone can do that no trouble. I can have a dozen apps open at once, and it still keeps up.
Physiology fail.
But it's nowhere near as fast as the human brain. Brains are up to 30 times faster than the fastest supercomputer. They process 400 billion bits of information in a single second.
Bother.
Brains, job two, perception. Receiving information from the world around you. Things like sights, sounds, sensations, smells, tastes.
Physiology fail.
Well, the camera on your phone might be able to see and the microphone might be able to hear, but I don't think you can get an app that smells.
Not yet, but soon. Just you wait and see.
Brains, job three, motor control, maintaining and moving the body.
Physiology fail.
Now hang on, mobile phones can be used to turn on lights and the central heating at home. Even start washing machines. That's maintaining and moving things.
But they can't move human bodies. Yet, bionic computer-operated limbs and organs are being developed. But we're not there yet.
Brains, job four, waking up and sending back to sleep.
Oh, come on, that's not fair. My phone has an alarm, doesn't it? And I can listen to some lovely music to send myself to sleep.
That's hardly the same thing. Admit it. This was your worst idea ever. A mobile phone brain, indeed.
Physiology fail.
The test isn't over yet. There's more jobs. Gosh, brains are busy, aren't they?
Brains, job five, memory and learning.
Look, my phone has nearly 300 gigabytes of memory. Ah, beat that brain box.
Physiology fail.
Although we can't measure things in exactly the same way, a brain is thought to have a petabyte of memory. That's a million gigabytes. Just one test left.
Brains, job six, motivation. Making sure the body does all the things it needs to stay alive, like finding food, seeking shelter, and avoiding danger.
Physiology fail.
Well, I could set reminders for all that. 7 a.m, eat breakfast.
But what if your body needs changes by the second? The brain is constantly monitoring your health and needs, providing stimulation or rewards and guiding you accordingly. It's also why you feel pain. It might not be nice, but it's the way that your body helps you stay out of danger.
Ha! Well, that's all well and good, but can your brain make you talk like a hamster?
Well, clearly not, but I don't see how that's going to keep you alive.
Well, if you needed to get on the right side of a nasty gang of hamsters, it could be just it.
But hamsters don't even... Ugh, never mind.
Alex's Physiology Fix-Up, with support from the Physiological Society. Find out more at funkidslive.com/Alex.
So did you know that there's a supercar currently floating around space and scientists think it's going to be there for the next 10 million years? Yeah, I'll tell you more about that in just a sec. I got a quick question though. You know that if you have any question at all about science, that you can send it to me and I'll get it answered for you, right? Like maybe your teacher has said something at school and you kind of want a second opinion on it, or maybe your mate said something in the playground to you and there's just no way it can possibly be true and you want to tell them that. Well, whatever it is, let them know. Doesn't matter how serious or silly the question is, if you send it over to my page at funkidslive.com, I'll ask our expert Tom. This week's question on the Fun Kids Science Weekly comes from Nathan, who is 10, who asks, what is a black hole?
So a black hole is something with such high mass that it's folded in on itself and become a singularity, still with the same mass. Now, they usually form from stars. So when a star dies, it starts to collapse in on itself. That's because what our sun is currently doing is doing a chemical reaction, which is pushing itself out. But when that chemical reaction stops, when there aren't enough ingredients for it, then it starts to collapse in on itself. So if that star is big enough, then it will collapse in to a singularity where it becomes a black hole and not even light can escape its surface.
And what is a singularity?
A singularity is a point with no dimensions. So if you think of the smallest thing you can, you could always cut it in half, but this has no dimensions, so it's the absolute. It's an absolute point.
So how do we know it exists if we can't see it? Well, we just know it's out there. Why?
Because of its effect on other things. So other things get drawn into this black hole. When you look at the maths of their paths or how close they are, and their trajectories, then you have to conclude that there's something so massive that it's a singularity.
Calling it a hole, then, is a little bit misleading, because if it's so small, surely nothing can actually get through the hole.
Depends on what the black hole is, because we don't know that far. We don't know what it is down in that singularity. When you think of it a hole, if it is a hole, it's a three-dimensional hole. So the hole itself would be what you call the event horizon. So that's the point where you can't escape. So in that respect, that's where the hole starts and it ends in this tiny point.
Let's have a look at all the science that's been in the news this week. Now, while the Winter Olympics glisten South Korea with blinding white snow, the darkest building on Earth has also been built there in Pyeongchang, because a box-like building has been put up to showcase the material Vantablack. It's the darkest colour that exists because it absorbs 99% of the light that hits it, that makes it look a bit like a void, a bit like an odd break in the space-time continuum. And the paint that's been flown out there to South Korea, it is made in Surrey, right here in the UK. Also, the Tesla supercar sent by tech genius Elon Musk into space on his Falcon Heavy rocket will likely stay there for 10 million years. That's the conclusion of analysis by researchers. The car was taken up just for fun on the rocket that he sent up there last week, and it will detach itself, and due to the lack of gravity, tens of millions of years is how long scientists think it will float around there for before it crashes into the Earth or Venus. And scientists next week, they will set out to the Antarctic and study the part of the South Pole that's been hidden there for thousands of years. Remember, we spoke to one of the scientists who's leading this trip on this show back in November, if you want to catch up, because the iceberg broke away from Antarctica and it's revealed part of the South Pole they've never seen before. So the scientists are heading there to have a look at what they've missed. You know, it's been a busy show on the Fun Kids Science Weekly today. We've chatted to pop stars right here on Earth. We've dived down to the bottom of the ocean to take a look at deadly ear-splitting shrimp. And now we're heading up into space with Professor Pulsar, one of Fun Kids' favourites, and a special guest.
Professor Pulsar's Space Explanation Service, with support from the UK Space Agency. Somewhere between Polaris and Ursa Minor, just a glint in the night sky to the naked eye. But look a little closer, and you will see it is Professor Pulsar's exploration craft, the Intrepid 5, piloted by trusted Captain T. Tory. While the pupils of Deep Space High take their school holidays, Pulsar is roaming the universe to explore the most dastardly difficult mysteries of space and broadcasting his findings back to the planets. It can only be another episode of Professor Pulsar's Space Explanation Service.
Professor, you are not going to believe this, but I'm picking up another flurry of data activity in the fourth quadrant. And like before, there's a pattern in the data, with lots of mentions of ISS.
Ah yes, the International Space Station. Well, I guess it's not surprising that lots of people want to know what life is like up there. It's been orbiting the Earth for almost 15 years and has been home to astronauts from countries all over the planet Earth.
Professor, I have a question coming through now.
Call connected. Patching call through to flight deck.
This is Captain T. Tory of the Intrepid 5. Please state your question for Professor Pulsar.
Do you have email and the internet in space?
That's a great question. Even astronauts need to check Facebook every now and again. I know just the chap to answer this one. Captain, establish an urgent communications channel with British astronaut Tim Peake.
Connecting. Please identify yourself.
My name is Tim Peake, and I'm a British astronaut with the European Space Agency.
Hi again, Tim. Could you answer a puzzler for us? We want to know whether you have internet on board the International Space Station.
You have both email and internet, and it's live internet now, so astronauts can tweet live from space.
Great stuff. Do you know you can follow what is going on day to day from the International Space Station, particularly whilst Tim Peake is up there, thanks to the wonder of science and engineering?
Warning! Warning!
Professor, the computer is indicating we have a major backlog of questions. It's threatening to overload the mainframe unless we clear some up pronto.
Well, what are you waiting for, Captain? Route some more questions through.
What are spacesuits made of? And do you have to share them with other astronauts?
Tim, can you help?
Spacesuits are made of many, many different layers of material. Some of the layers protect us from the temperature, the really hot and really cold. Some layers protect us from micrometeorites that could fly into you at very high speeds. And so there's Kevlar material that's like bulletproof material in the suit. Some of the layers of the suit are even the radio antenna, metallic layers that make up a radio antenna. So many different layers. And yes, they are tailored to you individually.
Incoming. Here comes another question.
How do you cook in space?
There isn't much cooking to be had in space. It's just heating up of pre-prepared food pouches or getting hot water to make a cup of tea or to make some soup.
Thanks, Tim. That's cleared up some of our backlog. Now, all this talk of food has made me hungry. Captain T. Tory, plot a course for the kitchen and let's make some sandwiches.
Roger that, Professor.
Professor Pulsar's Space Explanation Service, with support from the UK Space Agency. Continue your space exploration at funkidslive.com/deepspacehigh.
Yeah, not the only place where you can continue your exploration of the universe. Also, download all Professor Pulsar's adventures for free on your phone or tablet. Get to wherever you get your podcast from, and also have a listen on the free Fun Kids app. That is it for another mind-melting edition of the Fun Kids Science Weekly. We're back next week with more of the most weird, wonderful and deadly things from the universe. Now, if you enjoyed what you heard on the show today and you want the chance of a shout-out next week, it's really easy. Leave the Fun Kids Science Weekly a review on the iTunes podcast store. And while you're there, you can download all the episodes of the brilliant Fun Kids Science Weekly series, some that you've heard today, and we've got a whole bunch more to catch up on the iTunes podcast store as well. And you can listen to Fun Kids all over the country on your DAB digital radio, on the free Fun Kids app, and over at funkidslive.com.
So that was a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.